gone in there. We've even passed out Bible tracts in front. They don't like it when we do that, but we go and do it anyways. It's a beautiful place, but it's just a reminder of how the country has just, they're just so deceived by other religions. There's many cults in the Philippines. One of the up-and-coming ones is the INC, that is Iglesia Ni Cristo, and they have, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and so they have lots of funds, so their church is just popping up everywhere, even on the island we're looking at. So pray for us in that. But if we go to the next slide, I mentioned this morning about our Bible clubs. If you were to come with us, the trail to get to where we go, it's not paved, so when it rains, it gets real slippery. And just wanted to take this picture just so you kind of see what that looks like. Sometimes we'll have to go and pick up the kids on Sunday, and we'll come into church just all muddy and things. But the kids, they just love to come. They love to sit. They'll say, Pastor, saharap. They want to sit in the front of the H100. So we just let them go and sit in front. I'm amazed at how many of them have never even driven in a vehicle before. The first time they got in the vehicle, I had to show them, well, this is a seatbelt, and they're getting it around their necks and things. And it's just, they don't drive. They don't have their own vehicles. In the Philippines, they even call it a service. Is this your service vehicle? And, well, this is actually our own. We own this. And it's just, they look at us a little bit differently. If we go to the next slide. So this is what we call Alilakad. This is a pilgrimage where they go to that cathedral that I just showed you. This year broke all records. Almost 8 million people walked the streets going to this cathedral in hopes that somehow they could gain some penance, some to earn their way to heaven. Some of them you'll see they'll go without shoes. They walk for many miles. And they'll walk there, and we take that opportunity. I don't know if I have it on the next slide. Let me see what we have there. No, if you go back to that. This past year, we were able to give out, I believe it was 10,000 John and Romans, and we'll just go out there. And it's unlimited. You think almost 8 million people. We cannot give out enough literature. There's just not enough of us. We had a team that came from the States, and they wanted to help. They had about 20 people, and we all just stayed until all the papers were gone. But we could do so much more. And so I'm encouraging your church, if you wanted to go on a missions trip, this would be a great time to come. We need your help. And about 100 more churches. So, but that is just a part of our ministry there. If we go to the next slide. Quick story, this little boy here, we met him in front of a 7-Eleven. His name is Nathan. He's about 4 years old, and we noticed him. There's a 7-Eleven right across the street from our church, and we'll go there, and the little boys will be there, and they'll hold the door, and we'll give them a peso or two or whatever it is. And this little boy was there, and I remember the day I went to give the change like I always do, and he held up his hand, and it was, you can't see it in the picture, but grotesque. It had open sores all over it and dirty. I thought, where is this little boy been? What is his story? He's 4 years old. You can't see it in the picture, but his ear is completely open. And we started to dig a little bit and think, what are you doing? You're 4 years old. Where are your parents? Come to find out, his mom had just died a month earlier. His dad was away working. He's homeless. He's 4 years old. And so we said, just come with us for now. Just come with us to church. He's trying to get a few pesos so he can get something to eat. If he eats once a day, that's a great thing. And so we brought him to church. He was a good boy, just sat down with us. And after we took him to 7-Eleven, got him a hot dog and drink, and then walked him back to his house, but his house wasn't there. It was dark, and he's 4 years old. The neighbor took him in. But stories like this, all the times in the Philippines, and it breaks your heart. And so there's a young generation. There's many, many young people, and that's the generation we really want to reach for the future. If we go to the next slide. This is a little boy, cute little boy, just started coming on our bus. His name is Cedric, and his mom got saved and baptized recently all through that Bible club, and so now he's coming. It's sometimes it's just me and him on the bus, the only boys, a lot of girls and ladies on the bus, so he's our little buddy. That's Cedric. Go to the next slide. We do a lot of surveying in the Philippines. We're missionaries, you think they go out trying to find the people that are unreached. and the truth about the unreached people groups in the Philippines, the places where the people that are unreached still are the places that are hard to get to. Most of the places where you can get to easily, there's missionaries there, there's churches there. All throughout the world, you'll see that. And so usually it's because they're logistically, they're hard to get to, there's some danger involved. And so Mindoro has been a place where we have kind of explored. And don't let anyone tell you that being a missionary or in full-time service is not fun. It's adventure. Every day, I had no idea. I grew up being kind of an introvert and kept to myself. I never thought that I would be doing this. And we got to go around the island, and we're looking for villages. We're looking to make contacts. So this is just a typical weekend for us. If we go to the next slide. Let's just watch this video real quick. This video shows you what it takes for us to get to this island and to go around, about 1 minute long. This is a row. We roll our car on there, and then we roll it off. It's called row. The island has not finished all their roads yet, so we're oftentimes going off-roading. This road is really not done, and there's a couple rivers that we have to cross sometimes, so this was a white-knuckle experience, but God has helped us get through that. Yep, and then there's no taxi service, so sometimes we'll just go on the beach and we'll find someone. This guy had a boat, and we said, can you take us somewhere? We want to go to this village over here, so gave him a little money for gas, and we went. Yeah, Red Wings had to represent my home state with the Red Wings. These are carabaos. You'll see these oftentimes on the island. If we go to the next slide. So future plans in the Philippines. This is a piece of property that we are looking at. We just sent out our prayer letter this past week, but we just wanted to mention this. This is on the island of Mindoro in the northern part. We're looking for a place where we can start a church with the lowland, the Tagalogs, and the plan is to have outreach ministries into the mountains where the Catatubo live. So please pray for us. There's a lot of unknowns. We don't know exactly how this is going to work. The Catatubo, a lot of them cannot read. Literacy is very high there. So teaching them the Bible, everything is oral. I remember going with a Tagalog track one time, that is the national language. And I gave it to a man, and he gave it back to me. And I thought, wait, something's not right here. He couldn't understand it. He could speak Tagalog, no English. And so I had to try. I had to try to talk to him. But that's a big part of the ministry. So pray for us as we think about that. If you folks have any ideas of how we could do that better, please let us know. But we see it as being a long-term thing, teaching the young generation how to read, how to study the Bible, chapter by chapter. So we're excited about it, though. Is there one more slide? I think that might be the end. Okay, we'll just leave it on that last slide there so you guys can look at that. Pray for us. This is, I believe, how many acres is this? Babe, this is the 2. Yeah. 2.5 acres, and this could potentially be a church and the place where we live. Right next to this is Barangay Sinandigan. Right next to that is a place called Sabang, a place where there is no ministry outreach. And we told one pastor, yeah, we want to go to this barangay there. We see a need, and he said, Pastor Tom, that is the Sodom and Gomorrah of this island. We need someone to go there, but they don't want to go. And I don't blame them. When you go there, you see it is not the nicest place at night. You don't want to be there late. Things happen, and there's a lot of foreigners come in, and you can just imagine they need help. They really need someone to go there. So pray for us. Sabang, Sinandigan, and a ministry outreach to the Catatubo. So that is our plan. We're going to look at some text here in 1 Samuel 17, 8. Let's all stand. We'll read just a few verses. We'll pray. Won't keep you long tonight, but I do want to share this thing that God has taught us on the mission field. And I believe this will be a help and encouragement to you. And he stood And he stood and cried. This is David and Goliath here. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servant to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against you, kill him. Then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that may fight together. When Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And so we see here this conversation that Goliath is having with the nation of Israel. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this church, these faithful people that support so many missionaries. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them for their faithfulness. Thank you for the help that they've given to the Beeman family. Please just richly bless them here. Please just meet with us in this short time. Speak through your word to the hearts of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I was thinking for our furlough, a couple of objectives. The one thing we want to do, like we saw in Acts 14 this morning, we want to rehearse all that God has done for us. When Paul and Barnabas came back to the church in Antioch, they rehearsed. They told them everything that God had done. So we've tried to do that. We've tried to explain that to you. The other thing, of course, through all this, we want God to get the glory. And we want to, when we leave this church, we want your view of God to be higher. We want you to have more faith in God. And there's some things, and we've seen this even in the Philippines, that stop people oftentimes from taking that next step of faith. And we see that here in 1 Samuel 17. We see here that there's a giant. And giants come up in different forms in our lives, and it doesn't have to be a physical giant like we see here, but there are all kinds of giants in our lives. And the devil uses this. He uses the tactics here, and we're going to talk about the giant of fear tonight. He uses this all the time. And sometimes I think from the Bible, we need to expose the devil a little bit. I think he gets away with too much sometimes, and we just let it go. The devil's a liar. He will lie to you. He will deceive you. And he will put fear in your heart that will stop you from obeying God. And we've talked about Mindoro. We've asked many people about it. And oftentimes the question when we talk to someone, especially a Filipino, oh, why? Why Mindoro? Don't you know about Mindoro? What goes on there? And that got into our heads a little bit. And but then we go there and we see the need. And we talk to the people and how there's such need there still. And that fear can get into our hearts and it can stop us. And we see here that the devil has brought a giant into the life of Israel and it has completely stopped them. All their progress moving forward has stopped. They've won many victories with Saul. They've conquered many nations. But now they're here with this giant in their lives. And what are they going to do? The giant, I want you to see firstly that the giant is very bold. This giant came out, and it said in verse number 8, he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel. The giant stood up and he said something. The giant in your life is not going to stay quiet. If you have the giant of fear in your life, he's going to be there every day. And he's going to stand up and he's going to cry. And he's going to say, you can't do this or that for God. He's going to remind you, you have that coworker at work that needs to be witnessed to. He'll remind you how inadequate you are. He'll remind you of how scary that will be if you do that. He'll put that fear in your heart, and it'll stop us oftentimes, those giants in our lives. We need to identify them. They're loud. They're outspoken. And we see here Israel, they stop. The giants stop them. And what giants do is they cause us to be quiet. The giant is very good at silencing the Christian. Just when we get a little bit of boldness, a little bit of courage in our heart, that giant will stand up and cry, shh, remember that sin in your life? Remember how you were before? Who do you think you are doing something for God? That giant keeps us quiet. The giant will tell us, sit back down, I'm standing now, I'm talking, you be quiet. And we come in and out of church and we bring in these giants oftentimes and we don't tell anyone about them. Anxieties, fears. And what has happened, the devil has taken us hostage. He has used this fear and he has stopped us. And we see here that what did David do differently? We see that firstly, verse number 16, that the giant came and he was there for 40 days. He was consistent. The devil does not stop with his fear. He will keep going and he will stay strong until we do something about it. And David, he is here. Was David a better fighter than the other Israelites? I don't think so. He was in the field. He was with his sheep. And he was probably not as strong as the rest of the Israelites. But I want to point out the difference between David and the rest of Israel is that David's view of God was much higher than everyone else's. Okay, here's what happens when the devil brings fear, that giant of fear into your life. He makes your view of God smaller and he gets bigger. You think, well, it doesn't matter that I have this giant of fear. Nobody knows about it. But what happens every time you say yes to this giant, your view of God gets smaller. Your opportunity to do something for God, maybe it's still there, but that giant's bigger than ever. David's view of God was different. Firstly, it remind ourselves that God is able. In Isaiah 46:9, the Bible says, Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Matthew 5:25, the Bible says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We worry about things, and we heard earlier, we carry burdens around with us, anxieties and fear, because we don't go to God with it. We don't have to do that. You don't have to carry giants around. You have something way more powerful than that giant. It wasn't David's strength. It was that he knew that God was bigger. What else did David do? We can learn something from his approach to this battle here. We see, secondly, we need to set the Lord before us always. Let's see Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we see what's going on in David's head during this. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rests in hope. So David, he had this giant in his life, but he put God in the forefront of his mind always. When he got up in the morning, he knew God was there. God, every morning for David, got bigger and bigger. And it's not that Goliath got any weaker, it's just that God got bigger. And that giant in your life, yeah, maybe there is a giant. Maybe there is a real problem there. But God needs to be bigger. He is bigger. Through Jesus Christ, we've won the victory already. We have the victory through Jesus. He set him before him. We see here also that why wasn't David terrorized by the fear of Goliath like everyone else? The truth is, David was looking at something else. They looked at the problem. They looked at how bad it was, but David's eyes were on God. His view of God was different. God was bigger. Psalm 16:9, therefore my heart was glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. What else did David do? We see, thirdly, we name that giant in our life. Maybe it'd be good for us to examine our lives. Is there something that's stopping me from doing more from God, from following God closer? Is there a giant in my life? Do I struggle with the giant of fear and anxiety? I know before we went to the Philippines, I did struggle. I struggled with the calling to go. I struggled with fear. I thought, God, what are we going to do? We have good jobs and we have our house. We have bills to pay. There was that fear, and it became a giant in our lives. And until one day we had to give it over to God. And it wasn't, we're not great, brave people. I'm quite fearful and cautious. But God is bigger. God gave the victory. And we stepped out and God took care of us. Don't feel pity for missionaries. We haven't made. God is so good to us. We have a Heavenly Father that takes care of every need that we've ever had. Our family life is much better than it ever has been before. Could you imagine? God has just met every single need and then some. God is good to us. Don't be afraid to obey God. Just obey Him. Don't be afraid. I know that sounds simple, but the phrase in the Bible, fear not, is there over 365 times. And it's there because fear will stop a Christian almost above anything else. If you're afraid, you won't witness to someone. If you're afraid, you definitely won't go into full-time ministry. Fear will stop us, is the giant of fear in your life. We see lastly here, what did David do? We need to fill our mouths with praise. We need to put our view of God higher than it's ever been before. And how do we do that? Well, we read his word, Psalm 3:3. But thou, O Lord, art my shield, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. David knew where his help came from. David knew where his protection came from. He knew where the victory was over that giant. God was big in his mind. How about you this evening? How is your view of God? Have you sanctified God in your heart? If we're not careful, we listen to social media and the world, and our fears get bigger and bigger. Those giants that we keep inside, they get bigger and bigger, and God gets smaller and smaller. Let's get God where he belongs. Let's get him high and lifted up above everything else. He is able to do anything in our lives. He's able to help us. God has helped the Beeman family so much. I could go on forever about the stories of what he's done in the Philippines. We're so looking forward to what he has in store in the future. There's a lot of unknowns, but God is big. And we go with that confidence. We have his word. We have his promises. God is big. He's bigger than any giant, any fear that you might have in your life.